Oh gosh, friends, I'm so excited about the talk for today. My title is The Power of Creative Visioning. And I will apologize just in advance. I have some sort of a sinus thing going on, and so I think I caught something from my cats because I keep coughing up hairballs. But it gets a little bad at times, but I really am fine, and I don't have any COVID or anything like that. It's just a little bit of sinus. So I apologize if that interrupts, so I won't have to say anything later on. So, but friends, oh my gosh, we are moving into a new year. And so we went through a wonderful process. We did the burning bowl. We let go of the stuff that we carried and ready to, okay, move on. So we did the burning bowl. Then we did the white stone, which is that place where we tune into our own creative, intuitive soul, self, and knowing to find out one word or one or two words that helps us in how we will move forward into this brand new year. And last year, we did our letter to God, to our God self, our soul self, where we began to set forth the dreams and the visions and what our heart, our soul, our very being calls us in to be living forward in our lives. And yet, like with New Year's Eve resolutions and different things when we start the year, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do that. And then the humanness of us kind of comes in, does it not? And it's like, well, do I really want to do that? Or is that really true? Or how can I change that much? Because from our human egoic personal mind, we see our world through the limited viewpoint of these eyes. And so I want to talk to us today about the dynamic power that lies in creative visioning, that takes us out of our human experiences out here into the realm of infinite possibility, the truth of all being. And so, friends, truly, what stands behind creative visioning are ancient universal laws, spiritual laws, that have existed throughout time. Ancient Egyptians, Romans, Jesus studied, Fillmore's studied. So many, all the religions of the world are founded, friends, in universal principles. And unity, sometimes we call them unity principles, and they're sort of condensed down to five basic types of things. They are universal truths. Unity and the Fillmores in their studies had an awareness and so kind of culled it down to help us understand that. And yet we lose sight so often of those very simple and basic faculties of being that allow us to creatively manifest. The very first and most important ancient spiritual principle is the same as unity's first principle, and it says there is only one presence. It doesn't say there's only one, or there's us and another extra deity outside of me. It says there is only one presence and one power, active as the universe. A presence and a power active as the universe and in my life, in all of our lives. Now we put the word God in ancient Hebrew. It was Yahweh, or simply the letters, because the sacredness of the energetic vibration of that name was so powerful that people did not speak the name aloud. Of course, we know God, G-O-D, is Germanic, is anglicized, means good. But there's only one presence and one power active as the universe and in our lives, and it's omnipotence. It's goodness. And so when we start to recognize this very great one presence and one power is active everywhere and in all things and as us, and we have that capacity as we begin to remember and to recognize our oneness with infinite spirit that we forget all the time, Because oftentimes we misunderstand a lot of the stories in the Bible. They're metaphysical, they're allegorical. They're not meant to be, so some of them are very historical. And yet a lot of the stories are meant to teach a spiritual lesson, to speak of the evolution of spiritual humanity. So we all know about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, right? Okay, well, what in the heck does that mean, really? Were there two beings and they got kicked out because somebody ate an apple and blah, blah, blah? No. Metaphysically and spiritually, what that story represents about humanity is that place within us which we choicefully, so we stepped out of the quote-unquote Garden of Eden, which is the awareness of wholeness and oneness. We stepped apart and separate from into the egoic self. Now, is this a bad thing? No, it's not something to be slapped for and everybody says, oh, original sin. No, it's a part of the building of the creation of humanity in its own understanding of itself. And it took that separation in our own thinking, which we end up seeing our world out here through limited eyes rather than through the eyes of the wholeness and the allness. It has taken that separation and then time for us as humanity to evolve back into the oneness. But those ancient principles of truth, which is we are in and of the design of the allness, call us into the power to create, to manifest forth, true to our own original design. Way back in the time of 161 AD, Marcus Aurelius, he was the Roman emperor, a Stoic philosopher, and he says, all things are linked with one another, and this oneness is sacred. There is nothing that is not interconnected with everything else, for things are interdependent, and they combine to form this universal order. There is only one universe made up of all things, and one creator who pervades them. There is one substance and one law. Substance, we use that a lot in unity, and I can remember growing up with a word, and I'm like, well, what in the heck does that mean? Well, it's kind of our, you know, and then science has put names on the ethers that Charles Fillmore also said. It's the atoms and the quarks and the, you know, all the stuff out there, so I'm not scientific. But it's a recognition of the stuff of which our universe is made. And it's the energy of the one presence and the one power. It's the beingness, friends. And the Fillmores and other people in New Thought who have, like, Abraham Hicks, Chandler, people, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head, I can't. So many people have an awareness, Deepak Chopra, and of the power that we forget we have. Because as we separated, as we stepped out of the knowingness that we are all one, as we stepped into our own identity and separated out into this vision out here rather than the wholeness, then we forgot. We forgot the power of creation, the power of creator within us and as us. And so as we step back into recognizing the power of creative visioning, which is actually prayer, it's actually how we connect into that potentiality of infinite substance and source. It's about our remembering our oneness. And in scripture, and Jesus said this from John 10:30, he said, the Father and I are one. Now, you know, what happens because we've got anglicized wording in the Bible, Father, we go to this, you know, super being outside of us. He's referring to the energetic presence of all that is, that we are all one. And in Ephesians 4:4-6, it says, there is one body and one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one God of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And in Acts 17:28, for in him, in the allness, in the presence, in the flow and the energy of spirit, we live and move and have our being, friends. And so as you begin writing your letters last week, and as you continue to formulate them forward in your creative visioning into this year for yourself, it's about moving into an awareness of these ancient spiritual principles that God is our source. That God, not a God person, but God, the energy, the Yahweh, the flow of life, is limitless. And a source that we can call upon when we recognize our oneness, and we do that through prayer. Breathing is prayer. Intention is prayer. Thoughts are prayer. And we begin utilizing that to connect and to then lay hold of that which we do not see with our human eyes, but which we create with the mind of infinite allness, with the spirit and the soul of our being. So we go to the second unity truth principle through prayer and, well, it's not the second one, but it's one of the five, and it's through prayer and meditation, we align our heart mind with God. So, friends, if we're to be about the power and invoking that power of creative visioning, ancient spiritual laws, it is about taking time apart. Now, taking time apart doesn't mean not being out in the world. It doesn't mean you have to go down on your knees. It doesn't mean going up to the hilltop necessarily. It just means a willingness to step into your own truthful soul being, to focus, to see differently than the eyes that see out here and believe this is our outer, our reality, and to try and manifest and go, okay, car up here in the parking lot right now. You know, we do that and our minds go, well, no, of course not. Part of us kind of does though, doesn't it? And we're so used to the ones being in charge, right? So we think when we start putting forth intention and creative belief and dreams that we then have to make it happen. And all that's up to us to do is to remember the oneness and connect into that and know we are a part of it and that we have the capacity to lay hold of that substance, that energy, of all that is our universe. It's limitless, friends. And oh man, our human mind just like goes, wait a minute. No, there's limitations and there's this and there's that and I can't dream big dreams and how can I possibly do that? And friends, it is truly about in prayer simply aligning ourselves in the remembrance of the true design in which we are created in the image and likeness of God, in the image and likeness of universal presence or force or beingness. Many of you are familiar with Linda Martella Witsit. Excuse me, just a minute. She's a longtime Unity minister. She has been a part of Silent Unity. She's been a part of Daily Word. She's written many books. We've done book studies in the past. She just recently wrote a new book. I know, Sue Ellen, you discovered that probably on the Unity site, and I ordered it back when Great Lakes Region had her as their guest speaker in the fall, and she was a presenter, and she addresses the principles of Unity that sometimes we have stepped away from, and she invites us back into affirmative prayer in a way that we have forgotten. But she pulls in the teachings and the ideas, the original teachings and ideas of both Myrtle and of Charles. And so it's so inspiring what she says about prayer. She says, affirmative prayer is a completely different form of prayer. It's the teaching of oneness, meaning there is only one divine power, and therefore God and humanity are one in absolute truth. The teaching of oneness, meaning there is only one divine power and therefore God and humanity are one in absolute truth, changes prayer. It changes envisioning. It changes our intentions. It changes everything. Rather than presuming the power we seek is outside and separate from us, affirmative prayer empowers us to respond to life circumstances by drawing upon the truth of oneness, friends, of knowing that we are so much more than just our outer physical selves. And her book is magnificent, Discover Your Divinity, I think is the title. The Wednesday group is going to be starting a little bit of a discussion and a reading of that book in a few weeks, so you'll listen for some announcements. You can join in the Zoom group. It's powerful, powerful realigning and remembering of the truth of who we are, the power we have to create, the design, the opportunity. And it is through prayer, and we have an idea in our mind of what prayer is, and it's shifting that. It's not asking for something outside of ourselves. It's standing in that intention and that awareness within us and knowing that that connects us into the flow. It's like, you know, sticking, you know, the plug into the electrical outlet. It's like, pew, and it all begins to move. Because we have choicefully recognized and opened the portal to allow that through our intention and through our focus. So from our founder, Charles Fillmore, one reading from 12 Powers of Man says, "We find there is in man a knowing capacity transcending intellectual knowledge. When we discover in ourselves a flow of thought that seems to have been evolved independently of our reasoning process, our intellectual brain, we are often puzzled about its origin. In its beginnings, this seemingly strange source of knowledge is often turned aside as a daydream." How many of us said, oh, well, that's silly. Oh, you know, no, I should focus on this, or this is what's real, and don't, you know, don't be off in flights of fancy. He goes on to say, one should give attention to this usually faint whispering of spirit in man, in humanity. It is not of the intellect and does not originate in the skull. This is verbiage from 150 years ago, the brain. It is the development in man of a greater capacity to know himself and understand creation, friends. Understand our power to create out of that which we cannot see, out of that which we haven't even known before. And he goes on to say in Jesus Christ Heals, prayer is dynamic and accentuates the spiritual ethers that interpenetrate all substance. Prayer is related directly to the creative laws of God, and when man adjusts his mind and body in harmony with these laws, with oneness, with our capacity to co-create, his prayers will always be effective and far-reaching. So Scripture teaches us in Matthew 6:33, "But seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you." Seek first the kingdom of God, meaning seek first the core of your soul being. Seek first the flow of universal presence, and all these things will be added unto you. And from Matthew 7, 7-8, Charles, in one of his books, did a little bit of an intro to that. He said, "The highest exercise of the mind is prayer, and prayer is accumulative," or like a continued focus or a continual affirmation. "This is a teaching of Jesus, and we find that it is good metaphysical law to ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened," friends. So when we set our intentions, when we go forward, we are calling upon our imagination, the joy and the delight of beginning to move into that which we haven't even known before, we haven't seen before. And there are no limitations to infinite spirit. So friends, aligned in oneness with all creative being, we manifest our vision. When we align ourselves prayerfully, focused fully, intentionally, we access that positive expression of creativity and of being, that we were designed in order to manifest forth and participate in. And all of you know in Scripture from Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the assurance of things expected, the evidence of things not yet seen. How many times have we heard that? And yet from the human physical plane, we want to, you know, we say seeing is believing, right? And in metaphysics, we say believing is seeing. It's that time to shift into the willingness to dream big dreams, to let your imagination fly. To recognize that it is not up to us to know how, but to simply believe in the creative possibility that we are engaging in. And when we do that, in Deuteronomy 28 scripture, it says, verse 12, it says, the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands, friends. When we choose to implement one of the third principles that Unity talks about, a third, we're beeping. Are we okay, Kevin? Okay, good. That was so we would pay attention because this is real important, okay? That was like beep, beep, beep. Okay, everybody, focus. Okay, wake up. Okay. But it's one of the most important ancient spiritual laws, and it's incorporated into Unity as truth principles. We are co-creators with God, creating and manifesting through thoughts held in mind. How often have we heard thoughts held in mind create after their kind? We've been, the law of attraction has been out there through so many people have focused on that. Charles and Myrtle Fillmore were some of the first that really brought that forth. But it's truth, friends. And our minds are going to want to stick it off to the side and say, no, you know, it's not possible. It can't be. And I'm trying to remember who said, Jean-Luc Picard said, I don't have one of the slides for that, but Jean-Luc Picard said, it's only impossible until it isn't, friends. And it's up to us to begin to step away from all the rules and the regulations and the places that we box ourselves in, because that faith in what we can't see, it's hard to lay hold of, isn't it? It's hard to trust in that universal substance providing, because we oftentimes see so much that seems very real, that is of lack and is not an abundance in our life. And yet as we choicefully take hold of an awareness of our oneness with the force of all creation of the universe, and as we begin to just put forward in all of our affairs the recognition that there are no limitations of that positive manifestation we can bring forth, then we indeed change our world. E.W. Kenyon, who was a pastor, and he says, faith talks in the language of God, but doubt talks in the language of man. Isn't that true? It does. And so it's recognizing when the doubts come up to know that that's not the true voice of our soul self. Carl Sandburg, Pulitzer Prize poet and a journalist, he says, nothing happens unless first we dream. How many of you as kids were said, don't daydream, don't look out the window, do something productive? Those are old, not everybody got those, but those are old visions and teachings that are really important from the human level for us to dismantle, to release and to let go. Excuse me. And from Abraham, from Esther Hicks, she and her husband were inspirational speakers. She was a channeler. They were authors. She said, it's not your work to make anything happen. I go, well, then nothing's going to go on, right? Because we're programmed. Get out there and do. Just do it, right? Goes on to say, it's your work to dream it. It's your work to visualize it, to use that power of creative visioning. That's your work. To be willing to let your imagination fly free and just dwell in that realm of focusing on it, praying about it, being a part of it, and making it, feeling it within your body. It's your work to dream it and let it happen. Within the seed of your desire is everything necessary for it to blossom to fulfillment. And we've been so taught to do the doing rather than to be the being. So friends, as we live into the power of creative visioning, and as you've written your letters, and maybe you'll continue to write your own letters or add some things or put up some post-it notes, just listen to the heart and the soul of your being. Listen to that voice that is the all-pervasive presence of infinite oneness, possibility, as it draws you to new ideas, to new things, to new ways of being. And recognize how in our world the limitations show up and how we tend to just run with that. How about how we view our political scene? Do we oftentimes feel there's nothing we can do about it? And then we're focused on that spiral. Creative visioning is about focusing on the truth of our heart and our being and what we see as a world that's free, a world that is equal, a world that harmonizes and embraces all. So when you start running down, you know, the political rabbit hole, come back. Creative power of visioning. What about in your lives, with your job, with your finances? You start to go down, you know, that rabbit hole of old beliefs, of old fears, of old doubts. Just take a moment to play in the field of the imagination, to play in the field of oneness, in the field of all potentiality. That is our inherent birthright. That is who we are. And so I will close with a quote from Oprah Winfrey. Create the highest, grandest vision possible for your life, because you become what you believe.